Good morning, Zion Fellowship Clarkson. I've been given many titles in my ministry. I get called Reverend. Some people even call me Doctor. They call me Pastor, Evangelist. But today I got a new title, Brother Philip East. And so I'm happy whatever people want to call me. It's great to see you here today. We have a PowerPoint that I just want to show very briefly before I speak. The next slide. So this is my family. Fathers, I have one phrase of wisdom for you. Be a worshiper. If you want to see your children follow Jesus, be a worshiper. As you can see, all my children are white Australians and they all go to church. This is very unique among white Australians. And what's even more unique, they go to three different churches. So my wife and I are based at Churchlands Christian Fellowship. My three children go to three different churches. They all follow Jesus. So my advice to fathers, if you want your children to follow Jesus, be a worshipper. Next slide. 2 years and 3 months ago, my wife and I left Australia to go and be missionaries in Indonesia. My wife, prior to that, was a pastor at Churchlands Christian Fellowship. And I had a ministry to Asia as well as being a government worker, but I finished working with the government of Australia in May 2014. Next slide. After a number of months ministering across Asia, we decided to move to North Sulawesi. Next slide. And we moved to the province of North Sulawesi, which is in the island of Sulawesi near the Philippines. So you can see the arrow there. Next slide. And we chose to minister in one small village. For my wife and myself, we didn't want the comfort zone. We wanted to go where we could make the most difference in Jesus' name. Next slide. And we went to a village called Kapit Kanaan, 2 hours from the city of Manado in North Sulawesi, which was opened in 2008, especially for refugees from the island of Lata-Lata in North Maluku. Next slide. So Lata-Lata, you can see the island, there's an arrow pointing to this little island, was an island of about 1,600 primitive or traditional Christians that was invaded in February 2000 by 6,000 jihadists. In the late 1990s, in the power vacuum after the fall of Suharto, jihadists ravaged from Ambon all the way up to Halmahera. Next slide. When the village was invaded, the pastor was beheaded, three elders were beheaded, 70 villagers were beheaded, and they were forced to convert. They were forced to change religion. They were forced to be circumcised, the men, the women, and the children. They had to destroy their church, build a mosque, and if they didn't go to pray five times a day, they were in danger of losing their lives. They were held captive for about 18 months. When Dr. Jeff Hammond, who some of you would know of, heard of it, him with his supporters organized a rescue. And so within 3 months of Dr. Hammond finding out about it and organising the rescue, the island was empty. Next slide. When it was evident they couldn't return to Lata-Lata, Dr. Hammond, with donators from all over the world, maybe even some people here, sponsored the building of Kapit Kanaan, especially for these refugees. My wife and I spent nearly a year and a half living in this village of 75 houses, and that was our focus. Next slide. Our ministry at Kapit Kanaan was guided by three verses. Zion Christian Fellowship, we need to have good hearts and good heads. I meet many people on the field that have good hearts, but many times they're not effective because they're not thinking really about what they do. And so for us, we've been guided by these scriptures. And the key one for us, because verse 10 and verse 2 of Galatians chapter 6 have really happened among the Lata Lata people as the body of Christ worldwide helped rescue them, build Carpet Canaan. So for us, the challenge is to help them do their own work, self-support. Next slide. Jen and I are self-funded missionaries. We receive no regular support from the church in Indonesia or Australia. So what we saw happen there was even more remarkable. And our time there, we saw electricity arrive in the village. They'd gone 8 years without electricity, but through divine favour, we're able to bring electricity to the village. Next slide. With the support of business people, we repaired two roads. Previously, they were hot. They were very dangerous dirt roads. Next slide. Started a vitamin program with a businessman from Jakarta. Because for these people, their faith is very strong, like a weightlifter that's got a strong left arm. But their health is very weak, like a weak right arm. So for us, we really see that the focus is practical things. So until we can get more vegetables and red meat into their diet, we had to do this program next. Supported a young man in a micro business. Previously, the people had to bring their gas from 90 minutes away. We helped this man set up a business. Next slide. My wife taught, and in the classroom she taught in no power, no electricity. So she would go off to teach in the morning. Within 30 minutes her body was covered in sweat. No fans, no aircon. So she laboured very hard to teach these children English. Next slide. She managed to get them to a point where they could do a Christmas concert all in English. She had 60 children she taught during the week. Next slide. This is one of her great accomplishments. She met the sixth richest man in Indonesia, and via that contact, she managed to organise three full scholarships for three of the smart year six kids in Manado. Next slide. When we saw the issue of the lack of vegetables, we thought we had to do something. So we've been trying hydroponics, outdoor organic vegetables. We've really been leaving our comfort zone because we want to make a difference in Jesus' name. Next slide. Catfish. We've tried catfish. Next slide. We planted Moringa, the miracle tree. Next slide. And this tree has all these great benefits. So that's currently something that we've done a number of plantations for. So when I return to Indonesia next month, I've been here for 2 months doing theological studies at Harvest. Hopefully we can start to harvest the Moringa. Next slide. So Monday to Friday, we're in the village and then on weekends ministering in churches. So this was like the hobby. The main thing was seeking to bring transformation at Carpet Canaan. On the weekends, ministering at a whole lot of big city churches. Next slide. Rural churches. Every weekend, I was preaching 2 to 4 times. Next slide. Leadership training. Next slide. Radio ministry. Next slide. Release my fourth book. Next slide. So lots to do. But my focus for the next year and a half, these things, hydroponics because the soil is terrible, free-range chickens, goats, aquaculture, moringa plantations, holistic health training, permaculture as we seek to heal the land. And so a lot to be done. And if any of these projects interest you, please contact me. Next slide. So you can contact me after the service or on those details if you're interested in any of those projects. So please keep us in your prayers. And like I said, if you have any interest in any of those projects, please make contact. Well, thanks for that. Let's get into the Word of God. Let's open the PowerPoint for the Scripture today. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4-12. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for Zion Fellowship. I thank you for Pastor Philip. I thank you for the leaders in this church. I pray unity, blessing upon this church, Lord. And as I minister today, may you motivate your people to develop their talents, to align their attitudes with the kingdom, and to use their lives in partnership with you, Lord, that your kingdom may come. I pray, bless this meeting and help me speak in Jesus' name. Amen. As our children were growing up, They had privileges and they had responsibilities. They had the privilege of healthy food. So for my wife and myself, the goal was not to fill their stomach. Our goal was to give them healthy food and not necessarily what they wanted. It's interesting, my daughter's first word was Donald's. So we gave them healthy food, connected them to good people, put them in good churches, good schools, involved them in sports. So they had many privileges, our three children growing up in our home. They had a safe place to live. They had parents that taught them. They had a time to express themselves. They had privileges and they had responsibilities. We expected them to be honest. They weren't honest. We worked through the issues. We expected them to help at home. They had duties, even though they often didn't want to do them. We expected them to work hard at school, to solve problems, to care for others. Our children had privileges and they had responsibilities. We, as the people of God, have privileges and we have responsibilities. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through to 12. I'll be looking at a number of these verses, so please keep your Bible open because we'll be going back to this a number of times. Verse 4, 1 Peter chapter 2. Coming to him. Who's him? Coming to Jesus as to a living stone rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God. Verse 5. You. Who's you? Us. You, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 9, let's go there. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you might proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Next slide. Who are we? Who are we? Verse 10 says there that you are the people of God. You once were not a people, but now are the people of God. Who are we? We are the people of God. The moment that we come to Christ, the moment that we commit our lives to Jesus, we become the people of God. The Spirit of God dwells in us. We have a great high priest who is there to help us. Verse 9. Let's look at that. You are. So we are the people of God. And it says we also are a chosen generation. The Lord chose you. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. Wow. Chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation. I want to just focus on one of those factors, royal priesthood. What is the royal priesthood? To understand the royal priesthood, we need to go to the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, they had priests, and they were from a very small tribe. Does anyone know what tribe the priests were from? Levi. So the priests in Israel were from the tribe of Levi. And they were only men. And they were from what ages? Does anyone know what ages they were? Anyone know? Here's a clue. Sorry, Pastor Philip. But Pastor Philip and myself could not be priests. Someone said up to 50. So they were from 25 to 50. So I'm sorry, sir, but us men in the front, we could not have been even if we were Levites. So you had to be 25 to 50. You had to be healthy. Maybe I could have been okay there. No skin diseases. So you had to be in this very narrow group of people to minister in the tabernacle and then the temple. Their task was to offer sacrifices to God on behalf of Israel. Daily they would kill unblemished male animals, bulls, goats, sheep, cut them, place them on the altar, And they would be sacrifices. There were peace offerings, trespass offerings, sin offerings. These were constantly made to cover the sins of Israel. These were only a temporary shadow. These were a shadow until the coming of the Messiah. In the New Testament, the New Covenant, because of the cross, because of what Jesus did on the cross, everything changed. The moment we come to Christ, the moment we're born again, the moment we're converted, we're forgiven. We become children of God. We become the people of God. We become priests of God. And we all have direct access to the Father. Revelations 1 verse 6 says, we are priests to God. Born again, converted followers of Jesus. You can go direct to the Father because you're a priest of God. Let's open Hebrews chapter 4. Keep 1 Peter chapter 2 open. But let's also go to Hebrews chapter 4. Remember, as we're in Christ, we become priests of God. No more need for animal sacrifices. Christ paid the price for that. We are now all followers of Jesus. We're now priests under Jesus, the great high priest. And we need to come boldly. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us come boldly, not timidly. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. People of God, priests of God, what are you struggling with? What is difficult in your life? What is hard in your life? You have an invitation to come direct to the throne of God, to come direct to the throne of grace. Over the years, I've been for marriage counseling. That's a good thing. Regularly, I meet with my mentors. I discuss issues. Dr. Jeff Hammond, Dr. John McElroy, Dr. John Yates, a number of these people are my mentors. I meet with them a number of times each year. I share with them the struggles and difficulties I have. I share with them ministry plans that I may have their wisdom. But I understand that the most important thing is to do what it says there. Come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace. That's favor, blessing and enabling. It breaks my heart. As a young man, I pastored for 12 years in Canberra, the capital of Australia. I've been involved in part-time and full-time ministry in Indonesia since 2002. It breaks my heart when I hear preachers declare God's standard for morality and then fall into homosexuality, adultery, divorce. Recently, a famous singer, Israel Houghton, confessed to an affair and divorced his wife. Well, when we have struggles in our marriage, we don't cover up, but what do? We go boldly to the throne of grace. The son of a famous Korean preacher is in jail now for stealing God's money. Another preacher in Singapore is due to be imprisoned. Wrong use of money. When we're struggling in these areas, don't cover up. Because we're priests of God. So if we're struggling sexually, financially, relationship-wise, great, go for counseling. Talk to your mentors. That's what I do. That's a very biblical thing. But there's great grace when we go as priests to meet the high priest. In Matthew chapter 6, let's also open there. Matthew chapter 6. Now here is a time for question. I'm going to ask you a question. And there's three answers. My daughter went to a quiz night last night. I asked her this morning how she went. She said, I didn't go too well. You'll go well in this if you know your Bible. Jesus talks about the secret place. I might have preached about that. I can't remember when I was here last. But an area we need to be really strong in is in the secret place. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus teaches about three things we need to do in the secret place. And these three things, the Pharisees, the religious people, did in the public place. Jesus rebuked them and said to his disciples, there are three things we need to do in the secret place. What are they? Number one. Well, let's go from the start of Matthew chapter 6. What's the first one? Now, the first thing Jesus says we need to do in secret? Give. It's interesting, during our time, our 2 years in Indonesia, no churches regularly supported us from America, Australia, or Indonesia. But that's fine. We just do what we're called to do, knowing the Lord will provide. But after a few months, we'd check our bank account, and on the first week of every month, someone would send us $500. Now, that helped us survive. We live very simply, but we don't know who that is till today. But we do know that when we return to Australia, it stops. So they obviously were following us. We don't know who they are. All we know is they were supporter one. They understand what Jesus said. When you give, give in secret. Number one. Number two from Matthew 6. Pray. And number three, I don't think this is the hardest one, number three. Fast. So how many times do Indonesians love to fast? And so people will often tell me it's our day of fasting. And I'm thinking, well, you probably lost your blessing. You might have lost some weight as well. So Jesus says, do these things in secret. When we pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to the Father who is unseen. Don't gossip about your problems. Don't complain. Don't whinge and tell other people. Go into the prayer room. Speak to the Lord if you've got a bad attitude regarding the church. I've been involved in Christian circles. I got born again as a teenager. I've been a part of a church, been a pastor, an evangelist, a missionary. I've seen all the problems and the negatives. But what do I do when I have a bad attitude towards leaders? Go into the secret place. Sir, we need to face our problems, not Facebook them. Face our problems, not Facebook them. Go to the secret place. Wrestle with the Lord about your attitudes, your temptations, your struggles. Meet with your mentors, the elders. Overcome them, but don't Facebook them. And the great news is, we are the priests of God. We are children of God. We're the people of God. We have the Spirit of God in us. We're priests under the great high priest. We can overcome because of this. We have great privileges. Now let's briefly look at our responsibilities. Next slide. And we'll go back to 1 Peter chapter 2. So we've just spoken about some of our privileges. Let's now look at our responsibilities. 1 Peter, remember our text, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, says we are a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. What does this mean? A spiritual sacrifice? This is why we need to understand the Old Testament. Currently at Harvest, I'm about to finish three units. One's Old Testament, another one is Corinthians, and another one is theology. It's important that we know the Old Testament. So in the Old Testament, the priests would make a sacrifice of animals. But we, as the people of God, are called to sacrifice our lives. Currently, I'm trying to get my head around permaculture to try and develop ways to heal the land at Kapit Kanaan. And as I go to these courses, people say, you live in an isolated village? You've chosen to live there? Yeah, we've chosen to live there. Your wife, a sophisticated woman from Dalkeith, has lived there for 15 months. Your house has no electricity. Use a generator. Some days you don't have water. The nearest shop is an hour and a half away. Your wife wakes up with mosquito bites every day. Yeah. Why did we do that? Living sacrifices. Offering our talents, our time to extend the kingdom. Why, as a young couple, did we leave the comfort zone to start a church? Living sacrifices. We are called to present our lives to the living God. We're called to be priests that minister to others. Fathers, soon to be fathers, you're a priest. You're called to minister to your wife. Not put yourself first. When I finish work, when I was a worker, I would not stay at work. I'd be home seeing my wife. My children were there. As my children were growing up, what was my priority on Saturday? What I wanted to do? No. Ministering to my children. What was my priority on Sunday? Ministering to my children. What's my priority now? Whatever I want to do. Because my children have grown up and they're independent. So until my children had come to a place of independence, every Saturday, what was I doing? At the golf course with my mates? No. Taking my children to sports events. Taking them to things they wanted to do. What was I doing on Sunday? Sleeping in. No. Taking my children to church. Being a priest. See, being a priest is about ministering to others. Ministering to the Lord, to your spouse, to your children. Fathers, remember, the greatest thing you can do for your children is be a worshipper. We are called to represent Christ to the unsaved. Even though the majority of people in North Sulawesi are Christians, on the weekends when I'm in the main city experiencing aircon, thank the Lord, food that's compatible for me, electricity, running water, I look out for people that are not followers of Jesus, because I understand we're called to be ministers to those that don't know the Lord. Like the Lord connected with, Jesus connected with the corrupt tax collector, the immoral Samaritans, bringing the love of God. We're called to do that. Connect without compromise. We're called to look for opportunities to minister to the Lord's people. Two scriptures, you can look at these later. Galatians 6 verse 10, I use this in my PowerPoint. Do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Hebrews 13 verse 16, do not forget to do good and share with others. Look for opportunities. Where can I make a difference in Jesus' name? Next slide. Just some examples from my recent life of people that have looked for an opportunity to make a difference in Jesus' name. Young doctor, young Chinese doctor, top picture next to my wife. Met him in 2002 when I sought to start my ministry in Indonesia, and he said, Phillips, I want to start a ministry to the poor. I want to build a hospital for the poor. This seemed ridiculous to me in 2002. But this young man, he was young. We were both young then. We're now old. 2 years ago, Dr. Bambang Susanto opened a 70-room hospital, not for the rich, that's very common in Indonesia, but opened a hospital for the poor in Sepong, which is about an hour or two from Jakarta. Dr. Bambang looked for an opportunity. Where can I make a difference? In his community, a Muslim primary community, he said, this is where I can make a difference in Jesus' name. Interesting story. The lady on the top right, she's a pastor of a church. She helps her husband pastor a church in an island called Tagulandang, which is 4 hours by boat north of Manado, north Sulawesi, so it's closer to the Philippines than it is to Java. So this lady, her and her husband co-pastor a church of 300 or 400 people. She has her own church of 70 or 80, and she also has a bakery. And I said to Teti, why do you have a bakery? She said, it's like this, Phil. In our church, we have all these women. They're very devout. They're very church-focused. They come to church all the time. They're always helping people, always cooking meals. But they have no money. She thought, how can I help them? She set up a bakery. She didn't need the money. But she set up a bakery so that three women in the church could have employment. They started to sell the bread. Now these women have enough money to pay their school fees, to buy healthy food for their kids. Pastor Teti looked for an opportunity to do good. Bottom left, a businessman who I only met once sent me $1,000 for the vitamin program in the village. The Baringa seeds, after preaching in a church in Bali, a young businessman came up to me and said, we're trying to heal the land in Nusa Dua. I want to help you in Kapitkanaan. He brought the moringa seeds and other seeds for us. Dr. Jeff Hammond, if you've not met him, I hope you will get to meet him, the most remarkable Australian I've ever met. When he heard about the Lata Lata and their captivity, he said, I've got to rescue them. Dr. Hammond, unlike many senior leaders of mega churches in Indonesia, does not own a house in Australia or Indonesia. Most of them own houses in both countries. He has sacrificed for that nation. Saw the people of God in captivity, organized the rescue and the building of Kapitkanaan. And that's just one of the things he's done. Do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Where can I help? Talk to Pastor Chia. Talk to community leaders. Where can I help? A friend of mine here in Perth who's also studying, he's studying at Vos, doing his master's there. He wants to be a pastor, but there are no opportunities for him. So what does he do? He's contacted small churches in rural areas. He helps out at aged people's homes where no one wants to speak. So rather than just sitting there and waiting for the perfect opportunity, which rarely arrives, he is making a difference. A man in the church where I'm based who's not been able to get employment for a number of years. What does he do? He offers his services for free counselling in the church and helping around the church. Look for opportunities to make a difference. As it says there in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Next slide. Responsibility, number one, offer spiritual sacrifices. Number two, declare God's praises, verse 9 of 1 Peter chapter 2. We've looked at it. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Wherever we go, declare the greatness of God. As we come to the house of God in worship, as we pray, we declare the greatness of God. As we connect with those in our communities, declare the greatness of God. I love the church. I've preached in over 300 different churches, from 20 people in the village to 10,000 in the city. in over 25 denominations. I love the church. Jesus loved the church. Whatever Jesus loves, I love. It concerns me when people criticize and are negative and have bad attitudes. This doesn't declare the praises of God. Sure, we have issues, but we deal with them in the secret place. We deal with them with the elders. That's very biblical. We're called to declare God's praises by our lifestyle. We're genuine. We're real. We're positive. We're redemptive. We're solution finders. Don't get distracted by complaining and compromise, by being selfish, but rather be passionate, pure, and selfless. The third thing, and I conclude with this, is live God's way. God's ways. Peter said, verse 11 and 12, "Beloved," that's us, "I beg you." The word in the Greek would be something like, "I plead with you. I plead with you." That's what it means. I plead. So the Greek word would be much richer than "I beg." It's like, "I plead, I seek to persuade you." Abstain from fleshly lusts. See, postmodernism says indulge. The Word of God says abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, verse 12. Having your conduct honourable among the Gentiles, that means among society, that when they look at you, they may observe, glorify God. It matters how we live. I want the musicians just to come forward now. We are the priests of God. We are called to be influencers, not influenced. We're called as the people of God to influence the world, not be influenced by the world. Let's all stand to our feet. Walk in your calling. You have a calling. I know what I'm called to do. We all have a calling from the Lord. You have a unique calling from the Lord. You have a unique calling from the Lord. And with that calling comes grace. I've had opportunities to pastor churches, but that's not my calling. The Apostle Paul talks about sphere of influence. The Irish poet Oscar Wilde once said, "Be yourself. Everyone else is already taken." We are the priests of God. We're called to offer up spiritual sacrifices, to declare the praises of God, to live God's ways. And as Jesus said, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit." As priests of God, let's right now just lift our hands to the Lord. As priests of God, let's lift our hands to Jesus, the great high priest. Right now, we're abiding in the Lord. Right now, we're coming into the presence of the Lord. We're saying, "Lord, thank you. Thank you for the privilege of being your son, being your daughter." So right now, in your own way, thank the Lord for the privileges. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I'm forgiven. If you've never made a commitment to the Lord Jesus, right now you can actually say, "Lord, I turn from my own ways. I commit my life to you. Maybe there's prodigals here. You developed a bad attitude. Or maybe rather than abstaining from sin, you indulged. Right now, prodigal, you can come to the Lord and say, Lord, oh, I know I sinned against you. I sinned against people. But right now, Father, I'm coming back to you. Devout followers of Jesus, right now, just thank the Lord that the Spirit of God is in you, that you're adopted, you're loved, you're accepted, you're a child of God. Thank the Lord that He's your great high priest. And right now, as the music's playing, it's time for you to bring those bad attitudes, maybe bad actions, to the presence of the Lord. Maybe you're struggling in a sensual area. Just confess that struggle. Maybe in a relationship area. Confess that struggle to the Lord. You're entering that secret place and you're saying, Lord, I'm struggling in this area. Maybe it's in areas of possessions, whatever it is. Right now is the time to align yourself with the Spirit of God and the plan of God. Privileges. Privileges. It's also time to speak about responsibilities. Offering our lives as spiritual sacrifices. Paul says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed. The world says, do what you want to do. Be what you want to be, self-indulgent, indulge the flesh. But because we're priests of God, we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, we're called to offer our lives. Look around. Where can I make a difference? Where can I help in the church, the community? Maybe you've got giftings and talents that can help in other places. But right now, to speak to the Lord about your responsibilities, offering yourself as a living sacrifice, declaring His praise, aligning yourself, empowered by grace, with His plans. So right now, lift your hands to the Lord, speak to the Lord. He's your great high priest. You're a priest.